thrilled to have you with us today. And today we're talking about managing a unique nonprofit. Today we have with us Howard Pearl, CEO, Charitable Adult Rides and Services with Cars. He's going to help us understand the atypical nonprofit. And I've already really enjoyed our, what we call the green room chatter. So we also want to remind you who we are if we've not met you yet, although Julia Patrick is taking some much deserved break today. But Julia Patrick, CEO of the American Nonprofit Academy, we have her to thank for this platform. And I am Jarrett Ransom, nonprofit nerd and CEO of the Raven Group, honored to have served alongside Julia for nearly 1,000 episodes. I was just telling our guest in the Green Room Chatter, tomorrow is our 1,000th episode. So don't forget to join us for tomorrow as well as today. Huge gratitude goes out to these amazing partners of ours. So thank you to Bloomerang, American Nonprofit Academy, Nonprofit Thought Leader, Fundraising Academy at National University, 180 Management Group, Your Part-Time Controller, Staffing Boutique, JMT Consulting, Nonprofit Nerd, as well as Nonprofit Tech Talk. Again, thank you to these companies that allow us to have these ongoing conversations. If you missed any of those previous episodes that I just mentioned, we've got you covered, my friend. You can scan the QR code right here on the screen, download the app, and you can still find us on your streaming broadcast as well as your podcast platforms. So, Howard, that is it for the housekeeping. It goes pretty quickly. But again, for everyone watching and listening, today we have with us Howard Pearl. He is CEO of Cars, Charitable Adult Rides and Services. Welcome to the show, Howard.
Hi there. It's a pleasure to be here. Thank you for having me.
Well, thank you for joining us. I would love to start off. Would you share, not only with me, but with everyone watching and listening, a little bit about yourself and a little bit about Cars? Because again, we have a conversation coming up and I would love to set the stage for everyone.
Thank you. Well, I joined the Cars staff almost 9 years ago. Frankly, it was for a very short-term assignment. They were transitioning from one CEO while they looked for another. They wanted a temp to come on in and do a little bit of a transition for them. I was busy with another project, but some friends put their arm on my shoulder and I interviewed for the spot and agreed to step in for an assignment that was probably going to be 90 days until we'd hired a new person and got them settled in. I knew within the first week that atypically, I wanted to stay at this. The staff were just amazing, and really looking for leadership. The board was very forward looking board, very innovative in their view. And I kept coming home with a smile on my face, and my wife said, "You seem so happy. Like, do we really need another startup? I've been a bit of a serial entrepreneur, had a couple of public exits, She said, "Why don't you stay?" And I said, "Well, they haven't asked me." And she looked at me and sort of chuckled and said, "I'm pretty sure if you offer to stay, they would like you to stay." And I said, "Well, it would be arrogant of me to just assume that." Anyway, I think I'm coming up on my 47th day of a 49-day stay, just under 9 years. Never been happier in my life. It is my first nonprofit venture. And to bring, 30 years in the C-suite into a nonprofit, and understand how that works out has been truly a joy and a blessing to be using the skills that you've learned over the years to contribute to the community in an atypical way. So that's pretty much it.
Well, that is great to hear. And, if you can come home with a smile on your face after this long, you're doing something right. And you're sharing with me that your turnover rate of staff is actually so minimal. So again, right? Credit to you as a leader and to the organization for all that you do. So, well, let's dive in, Howard. Let's talk about Cars, the history and the mission. And I love the photo here that Julia has put up on the show deck. But talk to us about the origin story of Cars.
Well, Cars actually has a parent, a nonprofit here in San Diego, a 109-year-old nonprofit. While we have our own board, and we are a completely separate corporation, they are the only member of our corporation. Ergo, they end up with whatever surplus we have to run our own nonprofit, which basically serves the San Diego community, serves the San Diego homeless community. We have safe parking programs for people that are living in their car, and we run a fairly large social service network, an NGO that feeds. We've fed about 5 million meals since the beginning of COVID, with the profitability that we make, our surplus. The business started again by accident. People were donating vehicles to them 22 years ago, and they would bring them down and leave them in the parking lot, or one of the guys would run out and pick it up, and so on, and advertise in the local newspapers and the local cheat sheets. And people would come down on Saturdays and Sundays and buy the cars, three or four at a time. And then the local broadcaster, the local PBS broadcaster, KPBS, said, "This looks like a really good idea, a really good way to raise some capital. Would you do this for us?"
Wow.
And they said, and started, started into to doing it. And from there it grew. Currently, we service about 600 public broadcasters, NPR and PBS stations across the nation. We pretty much cover the public media broadcast group. And it remained that way until I got here about 8.5 years ago. They pretty much just serviced the public media partner group. Subsequently, we have started to take on many other groups who now have a little over 8,000 nonprofits in our stable that include American Red Cross, St. Jude, Shriners, Kidney, Susan G. Coleman. Most of the major players across the country are doing business with us. But the really cool ones are, the small ones that really have local impact. For example, small animal charities, might be one or two people working in there. They only need up to $15,000 for their entire annual budget. And we serve those. They get the same level of service that every other organization gets. And it's totally turnkey. So the cost of the money to them is zero. And we provide, we've got 11 people in our full-time marketing department that do everything for you turnkey. So it works out pretty nicely.
Well, I love that you mentioned, I'm going to refer to them as like the big dogs, right? The larger organizations, they have more staff, they have more resources financially. And then you also mentioned the opposites, spectrum. So that pendulum swung the whole other way to the smaller nonprofits. Are you seeing more of these smaller nonprofits coming to you with this, opportunity and interest?
Actually, it's quite interesting. It's quite amazing. We have our business sort of broken up into thirds, right? What you referred to as the big dogs, which require a different category of servicing, and then we've got the sort of mid-level people, the people that are broken up into chapters, like a Catholic charity and so on, and they're all individuals, but collectively they're quite substantial, and then we have this third group, which is sort of the if you look at the aggregation of it, it's about a third of our business. All these smaller nonprofits that look after themselves, they can go onto our website and sign on their own without having to interact with anybody. As long as they've got we'll do the research on the 501c3 to make sure, of course, that it's appropriate. And a lot of them just come on automatically. And we just start doing some business with them. And again, as an aggregate, I think our best year, we did about 154,000 cars in a year, and some pretty good real estate. Our biggest real estate deal was in excess of 1.5. That was a home that was contributed to Shriners, but we'll talk about that a little bit later. So the mid and small guys, who are having challenges out there these days, are finding it appropriate to sign up and work with us because it's turnkey. The two things I think that separate us, that really differentiate us from many other support groups, or three things really that support us. One is that we're a nonprofit. It's owned by a nonprofit that only works with nonprofits. So we really do understand your challenges, big, little, small, huge, ginormous, it doesn't matter. We get it. We have the same problems you do raising capital for our mission, right? So what do we need? We need to understand gratitude and say thank you for the many gifts that we get from very generous people. And we need to understand no money, no mission. So we need to understand margin and the value. And what we've got is a program that costs next to nothing in terms of staff time and in terms of capital. So people can utilize this program, and the, if you will, the ROI with their staff time and the capital is really quite huge. We return, basically to most of our people, depending on what they are, but most of our partners, are seeing a return of 80, they get 80 cents on the dollar. We take 20 cents to run our business. About 9% runs the business and 11% is our margin. And that serves our community here of, the entire San Diego County.
Yeah. Wow. Well, that is fascinating. And I love hearing the possibilities of this. Let's move into managing the donations. And you mentioned vehicles, but you also mentioned real estate. And now's a good time to talk about that $1 million, real estate property, because I'm not hearing of this happening often. So tell us, like, wow us with these stories, because I'm sure you've got plenty to share.
Well, yeah, I think the average real estate donation that we're finding is, somewhere sort of sub $125,000. That's the smaller piece of property that people had purchased, 25 and 30 years ago. They were going to develop it into a second home or a retirement home. And as probably most of us have found in our lives, it's one of those projects that gets delayed and delayed. And then ultimately it becomes superfluous in your lifestyle. And there are some tremendous advantages, tax advantages. Now, when you donate a vehicle, our research shows us that the reason most people donate their vehicles is it's sitting in their driveway. They've got to get rid of it. Somewhere down there, second, third, or fourth even is the tax credit. But with property, it's different, because with property, the tax credit, depending on your tax situation, and we always urge people to check with their tax people when they're doing, real estate, and we work with their tax people as well. We've got a very good staff that makes sure what we're doing is 100% correct and in your best interest. You get the appraised value. Now, it's not, your mother-in-law's appraisal. It's an accepted appraisal by one of the many people that the IRS accepts the quality of their appraisal for. And you get that full credit. And there's just a number of situations. We've had commercial properties where people have had, four or five strip malls. One is really not working well. The others are. We take that to market. So say it's appraised for, $1.2 million, and we get it, we take it to auction. We turn these things over generally under 60 days. It's immediate.
Is that right? Wow.
We use real estate auctions and various other ways to move them. And of course, you rarely get the appraised value, but even if in this particular case, we got about $800,000, and the guy wanted to take a few dollars out, which he can. He pays regular tax on that. And then fees, and away it goes, and the balance goes to the nonprofit. So when you're looking at some of these bigger items, you can wind up with $500,000-$600,000, $700,000 with $1.5 million house that was given to Shriners because of the tax position that they were in. Shriners ended up with the bulk of that capital from a very generous donor, one of their high wealth givers anyway, one of their more coveted givers, but they allowed us to handle the real estate problem with their giving officer still involved in the process. We really like you to stay involved because they're your donors. In our world, the single most important individual in the process obviously is the donor.
Sure. I mean, we get it. Howard, let me ask.
Yeah.
Sorry.
I'm sorry. Go ahead.
No, well, I wanted to ask you, like, how do you attract these donors? Like, how does an organization get the word out that, donations of vehicles and real estate are acceptable gifts? Like, how do we even talk about that? Because I know many of us are trying to get, monthly donations from our donors, right, as small as $5 upwards, $1,000 a month. Like, there's a lot going on. So how do we also add into the mix cars and real estate?
Well, we reach them in several different ways. We've got a very active marketing department that does video, camera ready stuff, live copy for people doing radio. We produce television stuff for them as well. Most people, in the beginning start off using their mailing list and email to those people, and then go after the referrals. A lot of people are investing in pay-per-click, and we'll manage the pay-per-click for you. We just don't pay for it because we give you so much of 80%, you know, goes back. We can't afford to do that and pay for the media. But advertising the usual ways, word of mouth, but the initially the mail list, people who have donated before, and every donation gets a wealth screening report. You know, we found people that were getting, you know, got a car from a donor, and then, you know, we turn over the wealth screening, and they find out that they're giving, you know, $75,000 a year to the symphony in their city, and they go, oh my God, why didn't we go after these people? They're real philanthropically oriented. So that helps. So we do all of this stuff to help you maximize the relationship with your donor and give you all of the materials you need to target your market. And we have to work with you on that because you know better than we do, you know, who and what the category of your donor looks like. And then we've got a lot of research we're willing to work with you to give you to help us determine who that is. And then we target them just like any other, you know, any other product.
Wow. And what about boats, right? Like, is that part of the auto category, or is that off limits for cars?
I'm sorry, which? Say again?
For boats, like a...
Oh, no, we'll do, you know, almost anything but riding mowers. I'm not kidding. Golf carts are good, whether they're running or not. And boats, we likely won't take a boat that's out of the water that doesn't have a trailer. But if it's in the water, okay, we'll take it. And then just about anything else. And we've had some big boats, and we've had some small boats. Of course, we get a lot of boats out of the Southeast and so on. So yeah, it doesn't matter. Look, and even some of the vehicles, we know on some of the vehicles we're gonna lose money because some of them are just, you know, real junk. We don't get a lot of junk, quite frankly. We get some very high-end vehicles, a lot of specialty vehicles, as classics like 57 Chevys. We auctioned one off this weekend for a St. Jude event last year. We got $82,500 for the vehicle, one for a 57 Chev. This year, we auctioned off a 63 Ford Falcon, $45,000, that sort of thing. So we'll take just about anything, and it doesn't matter. Yeah. We'll take those ones that we're not going to make a lot of money on, because again, it's about the donor, right? So building your database, right. And again, it's right. Your data, your database. We don't use it. We don't sell it. We don't anything. We house it because we need to issue the receipts. And sometimes there are issues with car donations. Somebody who buys the car will get a ticket or a toll on it, and we'll have to get that resolved so that the old owner isn't responsible economically for that. Yeah.
Yeah, that makes sense. One of my favorite viewers, Jane, just wrote in and wants to know if your model, Howard, has also been adopted in other parts of the world. So where is this happening?
Well, we know Australia because we get called from them from time to time and get to do a little bit of the model. We know that in some communities in Russia, there is another car donation program that's going. We're not the guys with the, dare I say, obnoxious jingle, the 1-800 thing. That's not us. I want to make sure you differentiate. We are B2B. Yeah. So nobody knows who we are. Our job is to promote your nonprofit, not ours. So you know, nobody really knows that it's us or not. But I do know Australia, anywhere where the tax laws are appropriate. I think there's some of the European countries, well, mostly in the UK also, but I don't really know of anywhere else. We did have a call from South Africa that was interested.
Oh, wow. Yeah. So it is happening. That's good to know.
Yeah.
Talk to us about the On the Go program. What is this? And also, is this Volkswagen van available? Because I might be interested in this one, Howard.
I think that's just a stock picture that has been chosen. We do get these VW buses from time to time, but they go, as they say, like hotcakes with blueberry syrup. there are categories of vehicles that are very popular when they come up. So this is really one of my favorite programs. Our parent locally here runs a program, a regional program called On the Go. It was really built around the concept of, you know, how do we continue to provide dignity for an aging community? In the U.S. today, there are 10,000 people turn 65 every day. And there doesn't seem to be a lot of infrastructure out there to support them to deal with things like, you know, loneliness, getting them to and from social events, to and from their doctor's appointment, to and from the hospital, that sort of thing. Everybody thinks it's just about medical. pardon me. No time is short, so I'll be very quick. In my own case, my mother was in, you know, was in a facility, and I was visiting her one day, and she said, "Look, normally these guys are supposed to take me to my hair appointment every Wednesday. They haven't been taking me lately. I'm not feeling well this week. I'm not going to meet my maker with roots. You better make sure these guys take me to my hair appointment on Wednesday." I thought, boy, that's my mother. So I did make a mention, and they took her to her hair appointment on Wednesday. On Friday, she put on a little paint and powder, lay down on her bed, and that was it. She went off to meet her maker on her own terms. And it occurred to me, you know, at first I kind of chuckled about it, but it occurred to me that getting your hair done or getting your nails done or getting an opportunity to go and do your own shopping maybe once or twice a month where you can pick out your own fresh fruit and interacting, or maybe you want to go to your, you know, to your family's home on a Sunday dinner, but you don't want to impose to have them come and get you all the time. Having a program like On the Go, which is basically a transportation program for seniors and other communities that are barriered to transportation, that's on folks on the spectrum that have jobs, adult kids, you know, that work in the labs at night, many, many of them, and their parents are now getting to the point where they just can't take them in you know, that late at night anymore, or pick them up at 6 a.m. So it's a transportation program. We're in 23 states. Most of this transportation is paid for by private organizations and or by the city or the county or the municipalities that are doing a great job. So we have a lot of government grants, and we're also going after private organizations to do this. AARP has talked to us about a pilot program in 8 states and so on. So basically, we dispatch Uber, Lyft, Uber Health, and Lyft and so on. And it's working out quite nicely. We're doing, I think, about 12,000 rides a month right now, but we're growing the program nationally and so on. And as soon as we get to a mature area where we've covered every state, we'll start to do B2C as well for low cost or no cost transportation.
Well, that is so important to hear. And interestingly, Howard, I spent Friday volunteering several hours in a think tank discussion, and it was for a local based organization in my community that serves foster care. And one of the big barriers for this community is transportation, right? And so how do we get these children to their appointments, their medical appointments, their hobbies, right? Their sports, things like that. And then looking at oftentimes, you know, some of the caretakers of these children are single parents, you know, like looking, how do we make this work? So On the Go program, you said,
and if you're,
yeah, they're in
multiple kids.
It's 23 great states, you said. So I think that's fascinating. I'm always learning. So it's really cool to hear that that's a program associated with your organization. And again, you know, kind of coming from this atypical space of being a nonprofit, but I love what you said, Howard, you were like, you know, we're not really promoting our nonprofit. We're here working with you to promote your nonprofit, and there are 1.8 million registered in the US. So there's a lot of organizations out there with this need.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's great.
Well,
it's a privilege to do this job. You know, you're not helping, you know, one organization or one person, you're helping thousands.
That's right. So many of them. Well, this has been truly interesting for me to learn more from you and with you, Howard. So again, for everyone watching and listening around the globe, you just heard from Howard Pearl, CEO of CARS, Charitable Adult Rides and Services. Check out careasy.org. That is the web address for CARS. You can learn more about this organization. And as you heard, whether you're a big dog, as I referred, or a smaller one, there's something in there for everything. So Howard, thank you for what you do. And I'm really glad that they've chosen to keep you at the organization.
Well, thank you. Me too.
Yeah, of course. Well, again, thank you to Julia Patrick for creating this platform. And I'm Jarrett Ransom, your nonprofit nerd. Immense gratitude to our partners, which include Bloomerang, American Nonprofit Academy, Nonprofit Thought Leader, Fundraising Academy at National University, 180 Management Group, Your Part-Time Controller, Staffing Boutique, JMT Consulting, Nonprofit Nerd, as well as Nonprofit Tech Talk. These are the companies that keep us moving along on this journey. And as I mentioned, tomorrow is our 1,000th episode. So it will be Julia and myself celebrating the milestone. So I hope everyone will join us. Howard, thank you for joining us today. Again, quite a pleasure to have you with us.
Congratulations on your thousands.
Thank you. Not yet, but tomorrow. So, you know, who knows, but we're going to get there. And I'm very, very excited. So thank you. Thank you for being a part of this journey. And for all of you that have joined us, as we end every episode, we end with the same mantra. And it goes like this. We ask you to stay well so you can do well. Have a great week, Howard. We'll be right back.